Have you seen God? That's kind of going to be the topic today. Very simple, very straightforward. Have you seen the Father? Have you seen your Father? And within that, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. There are many things that are given to us that outside of the Greek kind of fall by the wayside, the more in-depth thoughts into understanding what it was our Father would say in this particular case through Paul. Paul's preacher to Israel, the Gentile, and to the kings. In other words, he had a threefold ministry as it is written in Acts chapter 9 verses 15 and 16. And within that, he covered many subjects and really on three levels. So it's good to even take the simple parts oftentimes, especially at this time, when you're Passover and that time that he paid it all for us. He that created everything, everyone. He that created his children for his pleasure, for his company. So whereby he could receive their love, for that's what he wants from you, is your love. Okay? Then, with Paul teaching, let's pick it up, if we may, in Colossians chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 9. And it reads, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it," how good they were doing and so forth, "do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge." Filled with what? Filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, does that say your will? Does it say someone else's will? No. The knowledge of the will of God. And if your mind is anywhere other than wanting God's will to be fulfilled, then you're kind of off on a self trip. You kind of want to run things your own way. That doesn't work. You're going to end up flat on your face every time. The knowledge of God's will. That's very important that you know that and become a servant of helping fulfill God's will. Again, not yours. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding of what? Of God's will, which is to say, in a sense, His plan. What did God hope to accomplish? It really always comes back to one thing. He wants His children to love Him and not Satan and not themselves. He wants them to love Him foremost. I mean, after all, He was number one. He created them. He was here first. And He expects respect. And you see, the beauty of it is not only, that is to say, in seeking your love, that allows Him to extend His love to you. That is to say, the reason He wants you to follow His will is not for selfish reasons of our Father, because it's what's best for you. It's what brings peace and happiness, success, and all those things that make His children happy, whereby they do love Him. It's that simple. When you take away all the ifs, ands, and the buts, that's what it comes down to. Being wise enough to understand God's will and plan, whereby you fall within the parameters of that He would have you do, with understanding, that is to say, to know what you're doing, verse 10, "that you might walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful." If you're not being fruitful toward Him, that's the best sign you're ever going to have in your life, that you're not in His will. You don't understand His plan. Because if you're not producing fruit, then that doesn't mean everybody automatically, when you say, "Is he saying I should be a preacher?" That's not what I'm saying, all right? I'll tell you one thing. A preacher couldn't produce any fruit without the entire body. All right? We are all one body in that sense, in God's plan. But producing fruit means to plant a seed occasionally. Most of all, tell Him you love Him. That's fruit as far as He's concerned, because that is the sacrifice He expects from you today, is your love toward Him. He likes to hear it, don't you? Don't you like it when somebody that you really love turns to you and says, "Hey, you know what? From the bottom of my heart, I really care about you. I love you." It goes a long ways. It really does. So, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, how do you increase in the knowledge of God? That's really a tough question, apparently, for some people. How do you increase your knowledge in God? Well, you increase it from His Word, naturally. It's that simple. And in that seeking, not seeking His Word for what you want to know. This is important. I've actually seen people that I believe from their questions and from their communications actually search the Word to find out their will. Or, "I must be Job. I must be Paul." Well, you'll probably never cut that figure any more than I will or anyone else. There was only one Paul, all right? And he was quite capable of handling what needed to be handled. But to find, while you're studying, what God wants, what God's plan is for you, and fall into that plan and follow Him, not man, and not man's traditions, but follow God in His Word. That's why you must understand what God's plan is, and you must continually seek to expand your knowledge within that. That's another point that many people have. "Yes, I've read the Bible and I know everything. I've got it all down." Well, I've worked at it for 40 years, and it seems the more I learn, the more I realize there's a lot about this I don't know. But that shouldn't discourage you into wanting to continue into the depths of the inner emotion that God has toward you, that you might be pleasing unto Him, because that's where your blessings come from. That's where your prosperity comes from, is God blessing you because you work and because you are fruitful. 11, strengthen with all might. According to, you see, that "according" kind of places a condition, doesn't it? Classifies it. Gives you some data here that you have to kind of break away. According to what? According to His glorious power. Not yours, not the government's, not someone else's. His glorious power unto all patience. Boy, that's a tough one for some people, especially me, I think, sometimes. And long-suffering, which means being patient for a long period of time and to suffer with that waiting, anxiety, anxious if you're not careful. With joyfulness. Can you handle that when you get impatient? Can you be joyful with being impatient? Kind of a tough order. "Now, Lord, now. I've got patience now." That's kind of human nature. And naturally, we all long for that time that we will be with Him. That everything will be, if I may use the old colloquial term, cut and dried. You know, you just get up in the morning and God says, "Here's your orders for today." And, I mean, He's here with us. And you go do it and get your blessing. And you don't require any study. Because really in the spiritual body in the heavens, you'll pretty well know what to do to fit His plan joyfully. Verse 12, give thanks. That's something that's important, beloved. Hey, He takes note. I hope that your family never sits before a meal, and that's not the only time, without giving thanks to Him. It is important. It's important to Him, and it's important to your family, unto the Father, which hath made us meet. You know what that means? Made us fit. Do you feel fit? Do you feel fit to serve God? Think about it. Look at your sins. Look at what you think a lot of times. Who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance. inheritance of the saints in light. In what? In light. That word in the Greek is phos. And it means to enlighten. His knowledge does enlighten you. And to bring you into that light makes you a part of the inheritance. And what do you inherit? Well, what is an inheritance? Inheritance is what you inherit from your father. And he's written the will. This is it, telling you what you inherit. A lot of people don't know. Well, what do you usually inherit? What your father has? Oh, what does father have? Everything. He's got it all. The universe. The world. He created everything. And does that mean it's like a spoiled child? Mine. No, it's ours. To enjoy. To appreciate. And that's why when you walk out into a forest or you walk out into the stars and you look up, it's ours. It belongs to our Father. And He has seen His way to love you enough, regardless of how you know how you are. I don't have to tell you. I know how I am. He made us fit. Boy, that takes a lot of forgiving. That takes a lot of taking flesh and taking what's inside of it, that's to say your spiritual self, and seeing the best in you as any father does his own children. Many times a father, when he views his own children, only sees the best. He has this built-in attitude of being able to ignore the rest. Well, our Father through Christ does that too. Have you seen the Father? Saints of light, certainly not darkness. 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? That includes the prince of darkness. It breaks my heart when someone says, there are demons in my home. I can see that they just really take my family over, and me being a Christian, I can't tolerate it. It just breaks my heart as a teacher of God's Word that I have failed in causing them to understand, for heaven's sakes, in the power of Jesus Christ, order them out. Take command. Take authority. But you don't understand. I'm just a little Christian. There is no such thing as a little Christian. You have the power and authority, or you're not a Christian. And you utilize it. Anytime something negative happens in your home, you order it out. They run from you. They should run from you. After all, why? Because you're a child of God and you inherit this world. Do you want it all messed up? Then do something about it. Especially in your home. We have power over the prince of darkness. Anything dark. And hath translated. Latch on to that. Translated us. Who? Us. Into the kingdom of His dear Son, or that Son that He really loves. Metistami, that's what the word translate is in the Greek. It means simply to carry away, but it means more than that. It's kind of like, now if somebody wanted the word rapture, boy, there you got pretty close to it, all right? So it's not in God's Word. I mean, He has translated you, us, carried us away. And in the Greek, from the word resurrection, it has three meanings. And one is to carry away. It means to stand up for Christ. You are resurrected to a higher level of thinking, or translated, or you should be, if you're really a Christian. It's made up, this word that is translated, translated. All right? It means, I had to check my notes here. Am I getting two or three languages all messed up here and something's not gelling? Well, that's the beauty of English. Sometimes things have more than one meaning. But it's made up of two words. And One is kind of like to abide or be present with Him. And the other half of the word means to stand. It don't mean to be wishy-washy, to be a wet noodle or a wimp. It means to stand. And within that, you see that. And you hear. And you know. That's what being translated means, is you've got the horsepower to cut a wake. You cut a wake for Him. That's why when you walk in a room, people can feel the difference. They feel one translated. Now, I don't want to get you all puffed up here, because He's the one that did it. Not because we deserve it, aside from the fact that we love and believe His Word. All right? Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You don't have to wait. I hope you're not waiting to enjoy part of the rewards of the kingdom. You're really missing out if you are. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His, I repeat, His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Boy, that's lucky for you. Like I said earlier, you know what you think. You know what's going in your mind and so forth. You know how you need forgiveness. And He's more than happy to give it. Why? Because He redeemed you. Exactly as it stated on that cross. Why? He thinks you're worth it. He thinks you're a child that loves Him, and He certainly loves you. 15. Who is the image? And I want to add the word exact image. Who is the exact image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. That's a big statement. That means that He is an exact image of God. Meaning what? If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you feel the Son, if the Son is in you, then in that sense, that miracle, you have seen God. You have felt God. You have felt our Father. Because it was an exactness. Quite frankly, the same as you're an exact image of what you were. This is in that exact image. He existed even before God created the rest of the world. The firstborn, the Spirit. 16. For by Him, who? Our Father as well. Were all things. How many? All things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth. Look up, look down, look crossways, look anywhere. It's all His. Visible and invisible. Even the ruach, the wind that blows across the earth and in the heavens. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And for what? For Him. Not one dominion, not one thing in existence that when you are in Him, that you cannot milk to your advantage in the service of God. Make it work for you. Being wiser than the serpent, it must work for you and in your favor. Not because you're something special, but because you are doing God's Word, producing fruit. And are multiplying both the thoughts and the knowledge of the presence of God in the minds of the children of this world, which He created for Himself. You got a pretty good sized job to do. It takes a lot of common sense to stop and realize, have you seen God? Do you know who He is? Do you know what He has done and why? Who for? For Himself. Now listen, for a human being to say, He did all this for Himself, can make us, well, why didn't He leave a little of it for us? Then you failed the whole test right there, my friend. Because inasmuch as he is your father and you inherit it all, you're blowing your own deck right out from under yourself. And that's probably what you'll continue to do the rest of your life. Because you have not seen God to know that we are all in all, one in one. And when you have seen the Son, you have entered the kingdom and you have seen the Father also. For it is an exact image, likeness, and entity. Emmanuel, God with us. See it. And walk through that gate to a translated level of thinking to know that you're a child of God and in the service of the King. That there is only one dominion and one King that ultimately we are concerned with, and that is the eternal kingdom with this one as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 17. And He is before all things. Is He in your life, my friend? And by Him all things consist. Think about it. Is that way it is in your life? 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He defeated death. We still must. And in all things He might have the preeminence. That is to say, be number one. And you better understand in your head, He is number one. Why? Because that's already accomplished. That's already settled. And it was settled from the beginning. Each time you read the word, when you read the first chapter of Genesis, you read and every verse starts with and. That's a polysyndeton, which means there's a great deal more said in that word, what it means. And the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters, created the stars. And the polysyndeton, God, for His own plan. You see, we're not like our Father. His every thought is about us. I said, His every thought is about us, His children that love Him. He created us for His pleasure. It gets lonesome when you're all alone. He doesn't like to be alone. That's why you're important to Him in part. But don't be selfish. Let Him have His will and way and know that He is far wiser than you. And it's for your benefit anyway. In other words, it is your ultimate growth, blessings, and overcoming is by doing it His way. Otherwise, we do not overcome. 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In other words, have you seen God? Do you want me to read that to you again? Now, mature with me. Listen. Have you seen God? Now, let's read that again. For it pleased the Father that in Him, meaning Christ, should all fullness dwell. That is the totality of the divine Godhead. That was visible was that part that man could stand. 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, we really get short-sighted when we only think about what happens here on earth. There's a war going on over in Bosnia and the Serbs are acting up. Well, there's one going on in heaven also. Have you been watching it? Have you been keeping up with it? You see, reflection of events here, oftentimes through prophecy, gives you, if you have knowledge of your Father's will, events taking place there also. And He's in charge in both places. You might control your little back 40 or whatever it happens to be that you have, but He has a great responsibility that He's in charge of everything, all right? And you, 21, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. What? He made you fit. Because you know and I know that our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to Him. But He loves us enough that He's willing to mark us A+ when we probably deserved an F. Right? Maybe not quite that bad. Maybe a D. All right? And I'm not talking down to anyone. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for yourself. I'm just saying I've lived in these old flesh bodies quite a while. Bodies, bada. Okay, one. And I know what they're like, you know, especially if your corns start bothering you and all that kind of goodies, you know, they interfere with your life. And it takes a brave soul to grow old, you know. And to be able to, it teaches you patience and kind of mellows you, because you know what pain is like oftentimes, all right? And we should stay fit, you know, but it's strange. I'll digress just a little bit. Boy, I get on my Nordic track and I make that thing suffer, you know? I mean, I give it a workout to kind of stay in shape so I can keep up with these kids out in the field, you know? Well, it comes garden time once a year, and I've always got to plant a garden. And to plant a garden, you got to get right down there with it. John brought me some beautiful tomatoes. So I got up and I plowed the garden, and I got out there and raked it. And then I got right down there in it, bending way down. The Nordic track, I found out, did not prepare me totally for what that can do to you. You know, the muscles here just, I mean, scream, you know. You haven't been doing this set often enough. Okay. But we do keep in shape. Everybody try to keep in shape. And I apologize for that digression. But spiritually, we must work ourselves out the same way. And that's what we're doing right here, is to remind ourselves, hey, this is so simple. But sometimes we forget to go to the depth to understand on the third level what He's saying to us. And 22, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable. Think about that. I'm talking about you. You are unblameable. Can you believe that? And unreprovable in His sight. That's the way He looks at you. Boy, that's nice. Because I bet you don't have too many friends that look at you that way. Okay, I really would bet you don't have too many friends that will just look at you like that and say, perfect, unblameable. I find no fault whatsoever. I say that so that you see His bigness. Okay? 23. If you continue in the faith. Now, anytime you see that word IF, it's a good thing for you to get your ears on and listen up. If. That means it's conditional. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled. Settled where? In your mind. Faith in what? In your Father. This Word. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now there's a far stretch between hoping and doing it exact. All right? I want you to grasp that. Am I saying I'm teaching people not to obey the gospel? No, the word is hope. It's what you have in your mind. It's how hard you want to do it. That you thirst for the truth and seek it. Because probably you're not going to make it in a perfect place. That is to say, way. You're going to trip up again. But your faith in the hope and knowledge that this gospel is true, I'm sure it won't waver. I'm sure you're going to know that regardless of what you do. Which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. He said, I ache, I pain, I've been beat, I've been shipwrecked, but I rejoice in the whole thing that I was able through that to bring you the word. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. In other words, I'm willing to suffer for Him. And it sure wasn't anything compared to what He suffered for us. To do it for me, Paul? No, the church, the body. Whereof I am made a minister according to. That's kind of a condition. According to the dispensation. This word from the Greek better translates stewardship, all right? Being given something you're in charge of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. To do what? To help old Paul? To help my reputation? And I'm thinking for you and with you. No. To help the word of God, which is the plan of God, which brings blessings to all people. There can be nothing selfish about it. It's our Father all in all. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in His saints. Are you one of His saints? Remember what the qualification was, what the saints inherit? The light. What is light? Illumination. Being the electric light comes on, I see that. I understand. And I know that I can trust Him regardless of what people say. And regardless of what might happen to me and how bad it may look on this worst day, my mind is solidified, set in concrete on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And though I fail, I know He did not. That's not wavering, okay? You've allowed the flesh to waver, but not the inner man. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm not giving license to anything. I'm trying to help us better understand man and the Father. Have you seen Him? I want you to see how He thinks. 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you seen the Father? The mystery is that if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If the Son touches you, then the Father has touched you. The hope of glory. 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. It's important. Where does wisdom come from? The Word of God. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do not hold back from teaching God's Word or sharing it, but at the same time, admit if you have shortcomings, which, you know, I don't know why it bothers a lot of people to say, I don't know. I'm thankful before God that it never bothered me to say, I don't know. I don't know that. In a sense, it thrills me because it means I'm going to learn something just along with this person, because we're going to get in and we're going to dig and we're going to find out. What am I saying? Don't hold back from sharing what wisdom you have with an unbeliever, with someone else. But at the same time, don't be afraid to say, I don't know that one, if the question is asked that you don't. And what a time you're going to have, because I'm going to tell you something. God will give you, if you have that attitude, God will give you the answer. I believe that with all my heart because I've experienced it many times. If nothing else, just admitting to Him, I don't know, in personal studies, He'll always give it to me. Thank God, what He would have me have anyway. 29, too many eyes here, let's move on. Whereunto I also labor, striving. That's a neat Greek word. That means contending, fighting, according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Did you hear what that said? Paul speaking. Worketh in me mightily. Has he ever worked in you mightily? I'm sure he has. But you have to give Him the opportunity. And it comes with saying, Father, use me. I'm here, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the hope in those things that we have not seen, but to know your presence and your truth guarantees us that blessing and that walk, and if you would, that translation to a higher level of thinking. Do you know that God told us what was going to happen to us in heaven? A lot of people wonder what we're going to be doing in heaven. Well, turn over to, in closing, just one more whole chapter, that's all. Not quite. Isaiah 65, okay? A little old book we're teaching right now. Excuse me. I shouldn't say a little old book because it's the longest one in the Bible, isn't it? I say that as an endearment. I'm going to cover this rather fast. I just want you to see a little bit what we've got to look forward to. If we can see our Father, then we kind of should be able to see what it's going to be like when we're with Him. What we'll be doing in heaven. Okay, God is correcting people here in this. He said, hey, I'm going to set up beside my saints, and I'm going to treat them real nice, but do you know what I'm going to do to the rest of you? You're out of here, friend. You got zero, nothing. That's what he says, all right? 13, pick it up with that, where he's talking to basically the wicked here in a sense. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my servants, Isaiah 65, verse 13, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. In other words, they're going to eat of my holy word, and you're going to starve to death. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. They're going to drink that water. After you drink it, you're never thirsty. The living word. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, and you'll be ashamed. When they worship Antichrist, they're going to be terribly, terribly ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. That's mind. But ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. That means the very breaking of your spirit. You know why? When this time comes, he's just about to blot them out. Gone. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. That's the saints, the elect. For the Lord God shall slay thee. Who's going to do it? The devil? Uh-uh. The Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. You'll learn in this great book that that name was Hephzibah. And Hephzibah means my delight is in her. All right? It's his bride that he's going to partake of. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. In other words, do you want a blessing? You want to bless yourself? That's your answer, friend. If you haven't been able to receive a blessing, you better listen to that real good. Because this is guaranteed to work. Guaranteed to reach his heart. Is there's only one way you can bless yourself, and that is to bless yourself in the God of truth. And what is truth? Truth is this word. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten. We've come to that time of his return. And because they are hid from mine eyes. What it's saying, I'll forgive you. Have you seen your Father? That's the way he is. He's very forgiving. But at the same time, he's very disciplined. And if you think he won't slay the wicked, you're mistaken. He has love in his heart. But it is that love for you, wanting you to have no more headaches, wanting you to know that you have earned a peaceful life. That love for you is so great that those that would continue to steal, rob, cause trouble, it's no problem. Blot. They're gone. That's love, my friend. They've had ample opportunity. God is fair. On the first day of the after the judgment, or on the day of judgment, blot it out. Do you know what that means? You won't even remember them. They actually never existed in the eye of God after they're blotted out. That's what the term in the Greek means, to be blotted out. All right? What did God promise you He would do? He would blot out from the book of life. What's the book of life? Well, I hope you're in it. And boy, I hope you're not blotted out of it, because if you're not in the book of life, you're in that other book. It's called the book of the dead. Do you know why that's not necessarily written in God's Word? Because when it happens, it won't even be remembered. Because to be out of the book of life automatically puts you in only one other place, the book of the dead. Only it doesn't exist because you're not remembered. Not even worth remembering. 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. This is an earth age and a heaven age. Same old earth, same old heaven. And the farmer shall not be remembered. You want me to say that again? The farmer, that's this earth age. This is you right now. What you're doing, sins you've committed, shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Not even going to think about it. I might say to you, how important is this earth age then compared to what we have coming? I just want you to see the greatness of it, of our Father. He's not too proud that He made man in the flesh, and He said so. Genesis 6, verse 3, if you want to know where it's at. It grieved Him that He had made man in flesh. He doesn't want to remember it either. And as soon as we're through it and the judgment is done, blot. 18, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. That's the way He created us in the beginning, and old Slewfoot began to get proud within himself, and that brought about the overthrow. It's not going to happen again. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. God made an eternal covenant with this geographical location. And joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. You know why? Because there's not going to be anything around to cause you to weep. Not going to be any husbands around beating wives. Christ will be the husband. He doesn't do that. And those that would, hey, don't worry about it. They're gone. Thank God we're rid of them. And wives that beat husbands, it's the same way, all right? I just don't want to get any gender wars started here, all right? And without forgiveness, that is to say, where they just have that urge and they can't quit. Okay, voice of weeping shall not be heard, okay, so forth. 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner shall be 100 years old, shall be ashamed, accursed, rather. Cut off is what that word means. Let me translate this for you, because it's not going to make any sense to you. No longer will babies die when only a few days old, and no longer will men be considered old at 100. Why? We got the eternity. And to the spirit body, age doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as age to a spiritual body. It's eternal. Nothing there to deteriorate. Nothing perishable. 21. And they shall build houses. This is heaven now. Listen to me. They shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. What work are we talking about? First, trees, olive trees, and like the cedars of Lebanon lived hundreds and hundreds of years. And it was only used as an analogy to compare with eternal life, all right? And especially the tree of cedars of Lebanon, evergreen, meaning eternal. Naturally, our house is a mansion. That word mansion is meno in the Greek, and it means a place to abide in Christ. And then we go into a depth of dimensions whereby in Revelation 21, the new city, New Jerusalem, has no temple because the Father and the Son are the temple thereof. So we move into an area that's very difficult. What's it saying? He's saying there, and you can continue that chapter on your own. I'm going to leave it. but do understand much of it is an analogy of how and what you will be doing. Today, you build a home, and you have about, actually, without usury, probably $10,000 worth of bricks and sticks. And you pay, maybe you work all month, and you pay maybe, I'll say, $400 a month rent. And I understand now that's pretty low in some areas. And actually, maybe $20 of that is principal, and the rest is interest. So you're working for somebody else, whether you realize it or not. And all your life, like a little old slave, you just knuckle up to the table there and, boy, just stay in your little old prison and pay out that usury. Okay, that's the way it is. It's not going to be that way there. What you build, you keep. What you have, after all, it's our Father's and He has everything. What a wonderful time it's going to be. But spiritual bodies don't get cold. So they don't need heat. Heat creates smoke, pollution. Flesh bodies are probably the biggest pollutant this world has ever known. We got to cut them trees down to build them houses because these things get cold. And then we hate to walk, so we're too lazy to ride the mule, so we take the car. What's coming out the tailpipe, all right? Well, it's sure not going to enrich the soil like it would have if you'd rode the mule, okay? It's going to pollute the air. So what is my point? When we get rid of these things, just think how what an asset that alone will be in the new earth age. Because we use vehicles, apparently, according to Ezekiel, that are fantastic. You might even say, out of this world. Okay? What a lot we have to look forward to. I hope you're a part of it. And have you seen your Father? If you've seen the Son, you've seen your Father. And He's proud of it. That's the mystery of the Word of God, is to know that Father loved you so much that He wanted to be so close to you that He alone said, Emmanuel, God with us, that He could die on the cross for you in the body of Christ in that office so that all your shortcomings could be stamped perfect, because He was. He looks out for His children. It's easy to follow Him. There will be some pitfalls, but when you stay in His will, it's no problem, because you're special in that you're not selfish. You're a part of a many-membered body. And we've got our Father's work to do. All right, Father, we thank You, Father, for the Word. Thank You for the simplicity in the teachings of Christ through even that Spirit that brought the words forth from Paul and that great prophet Isaiah, that we see Your plan of salvation and redemption and the bringing of the family together without tears. Thank You for that, Father, in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.